The Lord said to Moses, "Say to the Israelites, when anyone sins unintentionally and does what is forbidden in any of the Lord's commands, if the anointed priest sins, bringing guilt to the people, he must bring to the Lord a young bull without defect as a sin offering for the sin he has committed. He is to present the bull at the entrance of the tent of meeting before the Lord. He is to lay his hands on its head and slaughter it there before the Lord. Then the anointed priest shall take some of the bull's blood and carry it into the tent of meeting. He is to dip his fingers into the blood and sprinkle some of it seven times before the Lord in front of the curtain of the sanctuary. The priest shall then put some of the blood on the horns of the altar of fragrant incense that is before the Lord in the tent of meeting. The rest of the bull he shall pour out at the base of the altar of burnt offering at the entrance of the tent of meeting. He shall remove all the fat from the bull of the sin offering, all the fat that is connected to the internal organs, both kidneys with the fat on them near the loins and the long lobe of the liver, which he will remove with the kidneys. Just as the fat is removed from the ox, sacrificed as a fellowship offering. Then the priest shall burn them on the altar of burnt offering. But the hide of the bull and all of its flesh, as well as the head and legs, the internal organs and the intestines, that is, all the rest of the bull, he must take outside the camp to a place ceremonially cleaned, where the ashes are thrown, and burn it there in the wood fire on the ash heap. If the whole Israelite community sins unintentionally and does what is forbidden in any of the Lord's commands, even though the community is unaware of the matter, when they realize their guilt and the sin they committed becomes known, the assembly must bring a young bull as a sin offering and present it before the tent of meeting. The elders of the community are to lay their hands on the bull's head before the Lord, and the bull shall be slaughtered before the Lord. Then the anointed priest is to take some of the bull's blood into the tent of meeting. He shall dip his fingers into the blood and sprinkle it before the Lord seven times in front of the curtain. He is to put some of the blood on the horn of the altar before the Lord in the tent of meeting. The rest of the blood he shall pour out at the base of the altar of burnt offering at the entrance of the tent of meeting. He shall remove the fat from it and burn it at the altar, and do this with the bull just as he did with the bull for the sin offering. In this way, the priest shall make atonement for the community, and they will be forgiven. Then he shall take the bull outside the camp and burn it as he burnt the first bull. This is the sin offering for the community. When a leader sins unintentionally and does what is forbidden in any of the commands of the Lord, his God, when he realizes his guilt and the sin he has committed becomes known, he must bring as his offering a male goat without defect. He is to lay his hands on the goat's head and slaughter it at the place where the burnt offering is slaughtered before the Lord. It is a sin offering. Then the priest shall take some of the blood of the sin offering with his finger and put it on the horns of the altar of burnt offering and pour out the rest of the blood at the base of the altar. He shall burn all the fat on the altar as he burned the fat of the fellowship offering. In this way, the priest shall make atonement for the leader's sin, and he will be forgiven. If any member of the community sins unintentionally and does what is forbidden in any of the Lord's commands, when they realize their guilt and the sin they have committed becomes known, they must bring as their offering for the sin they committed a female goat without defect. They are to lay their hands on the head of the sin offering and slaughter it at the place of burnt offering. Then the priest is to take some of the blood with his fingers and put it on the horns of the altar of burnt offering and pour out the rest of the blood at the base of the altar. They shall remove all the fat, just as the fat is removed from the fellowship offering, and the priest shall burn it on the altar as an aroma pleasing to the Lord. In this way, the priest shall make atonement for them, and they will be forgiven. If someone brings a lamb as their sin offering, they are to bring a female without defect. They are to lay their hands on his head and slaughter it for a sin offering at the place where the burnt offering is slaughtered. And then the priest shall take some of the blood of the sin offering with his fingers and put it on the horn of the altar of burnt offering and pour out the rest of the blood at the base of the altar. They shall remove all the fat, just as the fat is removed from the lamb of fellowship of offering. And the priest shall burn it on the altar on top of food offering presented to the Lord. In this way, the priest shall make atonement for them for the sin they have committed, and they will be forgiven.
Thanks, Amore. It's a long reading, a bit of an epic one, but I think it just helps us to get a feel for what's going on there in Leviticus. Now, so please have your Bibles open there. My name is Simon. I normally attend the afternoon and PM services, but Jason's on leave, and Chris, as many of you know, is doing a wedding in Yeppoon at 3 o'clock today, so he couldn't have kind of been here and then bolted off, although it would have been good to see and try to do that. But that's why I'm here this morning with you. But it also means that we're taking a break from your Deuteronomy series. So Chris started that last week. You'll continue on with that next week, but today you're getting a little highlights package of Leviticus. So you can understand what we're looking at in the afternoon. Come and say hello sometime if you'd like to. But that's kind of it, I think, for the little welcome. In that kids' song, that's like, before we move on, there's kids' songs where you do actions that are kind of hard. That song is like expert level. Like if you want to, like just these ones, I was like, man, that is expert level of song movements. Anyway, I've said what I wanted to say. Let's move on. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, please help us to understand your word. Please give us eyes to see and ears to hear. Please help us to be able to concentrate. Please help us to want to treat sin seriously in our lives. And we pray all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I think that most of us think that little sins do not matter. Now, you might be committed to the idea that all sin is the same, but I actually don't think that's true. All sin does separate us from God, but I think in the New Testament, there's definitely the idea that some sins are worse than others. But that's a different talk. We're not going there this morning. Anyway, wherever you sit, I think we all have the category of little sins, sins that just don't really matter. Maybe for you, it's a little bit of speeding. You know, when you're running late for something and you're just like, just a little bit of speeding, surely it's okay. And you don't think about it too much. Maybe it's lying just a little bit on your tax return. Maybe it's looking at your phone while you're driving in the car. I find it very hard not just to press the button to get Siri's attention so she'll ring my mum, but I have to touch it to do that. Maybe it's the double take of the man or the woman. You're walking down the Strand and they haven't got much on, they're quite attractive, and you're like, whoa, what's going on there? And where do your thoughts go with that? Maybe it's the odd cash job. Maybe it's just that little bit of gossip. Or maybe it's tearing down someone with your friends. It just feels pretty good. Or just a little bit of greed. Maybe just a little bit more, then you'll know that you are secure. Or maybe it's something else. Friends, I think we all have the thought somewhere in our minds that some sins just don't really matter. Well, as we dig into Leviticus 4 and 5 today, we're going to see that all sin is serious. In fact, we're going to see that unintentional sin must be accounted for. It must be paid for. Now, last week in the PM services, we saw that Leviticus is really dealing with the question of how a holy God can live with unholy people. See, in Leviticus, God is going to live amongst his people, in the middle of them, in this special tent called the tabernacle, or sometimes it's called the tent of meeting. And last week we saw in the afternoon services that the part of how this relationship will work is by the people being thankful. The people might make costly, voluntary sacrifices to God in response to what God has done of rescuing them from Egypt. But today, as we continue our journey in Leviticus, we're going to see that the tone has definitely changed. It's not voluntary sacrifices anymore. It's sacrifices that the people must make. Well, please have your Bibles open there at Leviticus chapter 4. Our first point today is that sin is serious, And just to give you the heads up, this point will be slightly longer than the second one, and I'm going to move very quickly through Leviticus 4 and 5. So we're going to do a lot of the hard work in this first point. So I don't know if you need to stretch, brace yourself, buckle yourself in, put your seatbelt on, because we're going to go pretty fast as we go through. Leviticus chapter 4, verse 1, have a listen to it. It says this. The Lord said to Moses, say to the Israelites, when anyone sins unintentionally and does what is forbidden in any of the Lord's commands. So here, the Lord is talking to Moses. And remember, he's living in this special tent. So he's talking from this special tent that's in the middle of God's people. And the Lord says to Moses, when anyone sins unintentionally, when they don't do it on purpose. Now, the rest of chapter 4 will fill out what different people or different groups are to do if they sin unintentionally. If they somehow sort of make a mistake or they kind of just don't know any better. And by doing that, they break one of God's commands. We're thinking about unintentional sin here. And the first person to get a mention is the anointed or the high priest. Pick up me from verse 3. It says this. If the anointed priest sins, bringing guilt on the people, he must bring to the Lord a young bull without defect as a sin offering for the sin he has committed. He is to present the bull at the entrance to the tent of meeting before the Lord. He is to lay his hand on its head and slaughter it there before the Lord. So here we find out what the anointed priest, the high priest, is to do if he unintentionally sins. He's to bring a bull, lay his hand on it, and slaughter it before the tent of meeting, before the Lord. Now the details of what else he is to do are outlined in verses 5 to 12, where the blood is to be sprinkled, how much of the bull is to be burned on the altar, what's left over is to be burnt outside. All those details are spelled out. But from verse 13, we find out what the whole community are to do if they sin unintentionally. And essentially, it's the same process as outlined for the high priest. But instead of the high priest just laying his hand on the animal, the elders of the community have to come and lay their hands on the animal. Because remember, this is a sin that the whole community has unintentionally done. Well, the next unintentional sin that gets a mention is when a leader sins unintentionally, and things change a little bit here. Pick it up from verse 22. It says this. When a leader sins unintentionally and does what is forbidden in any of the commands of the Lord his God, when he realizes his guilt and the sin he has committed becomes known, he must bring as his offering a male goat without defect. So here we're thinking about the leader who unintentionally sins. When he becomes aware of it, he's to bring a goat without defect. And the other details are outlined in verses 24 to 26, where the priest will sprinkle the blood, what parts will be burned on the altar. Now from verse 27, we find out what an individual is to do if they unintentionally sin. And it's basically the same process that's outlined for the leader, although they can offer a female goat or a female lamb. Now, it's interesting to note that there's a change. There's a change from the high priest and the whole community to the leader and the individual. A less costly animal is to be sacrificed, is to be offered. It's not a young bull, now it's a lamb or a goat. And where the blood needs to be sprinkled is different as well. With the high priest and the community, the blood needs to go further into this special tent. These two details suggest that the unintentional sin of the high priest who represents all the people and of the community, it's of a greater significance than the sin of the leader or the individual. And that makes sense, right? Because it affects all of the people. Well, as God lives in this special tent with his people, even unintentional sin must be paid for. Now, we might think that unintentional sin can be ignored. We might think, oh, the little stuff, we didn't even mean to do it. Let's just wipe it under the carpet. But sin is offensive to God. And so sin must be paid for. If God is going to live with his people, Sin, all sin, must be accounted for. Now, in chapter 5, verses 1 to 13, we find out about sins that some people might call sins of omission. That's things people should do, but they don't do. Have a look at me from verse 1, chapter 5. It says this. If anyone sins because they do not speak up when they hear a public charge to testify regarding something they've seen or learned about, they will be held responsible. The sin mentioned in verse 1 appears to be that the person knows some information, but they fail to speak up. They fail to do what they should do. That's a sin of omission. And as we continue in verses 2 and 3 and 4, we see it's the same sort of sin continues. Now, verses 2 and 3, it's a little bit confusing. The ESV, which is a different translation to the NIV that we use, it makes it a little bit clearer. It translates the word unaware as hidden. And it seems that the people have become unclean by touching an animal or human uncleanness. And the people looking at Leviticus more will think more about that in the coming weeks. But this person has forgotten to follow the correct procedure for becoming clean. They haven't done what they should have done. And in verse 4, if you translate the word unaware as hidden, that the person has made an oath and they've forgotten about it, and they've forgotten to follow through. What's being talked about here is sins of omission. The people should have done something, but they failed to do it. And because of that, they need to offer sacrifices. They need to offer offerings. And that's outlined in verses 5 to 13. Now, we also might have thought that these sins were of a lesser category. You know, someone just forgot to do something. But sin is serious. Sin, it must be accounted for. At the end of chapter 5, into chapter 6, it details the offerings that are to be made when someone has sinned against someone else. In the first instance, it's an unintentional sin. In the second, it seems to be intentional. But the sins mentioned are not big intentional sins. They seem to be sins of a lesser nature. I think we get the idea from all that we've seen and all that we've kind of glossed over very quickly, we get the idea that sin is serious. Even relatively small sins must be accounted for. Even unintentional sin must be paid for. When God is living amongst his people, sin is serious. Now, I'm not sure if you've had the experience of having your in-laws live in your house for a period of time. It can be a tough slog. So if that's you, I feel you. Anyway, if you're going to have your in-laws in your house for a while, it's inevitable that you'll at some point watch a movie together. Now, sometimes as you get older, as you leave kind of leave home and grow up a little bit away from your parents or the in-laws, you kind of forget stuff that might be offensive, or you forget stuff that might be a bit crude. You lose your sensitivities to that sort of thing. But when you're watching a movie with your in-laws, all of those sensitivities come back, don't they? And you're like, why did we watch this film with them? I forgot about that scene. I forgot about the language. Oh, why did I choose this film? And you just kind of got to bury yourself. And it's a pretty awkward experience. And I am talking from first-hand experience there. But I reckon you can relate to that. You just kind of, you've chosen this movie, you're like, oh, what did I do this for? Now, I'm not saying that living with your in-laws is like living with God, although some in-laws might think that they are God. But the in-laws, they help you to be sensitive to certain things. Friends, as God lives with his Old Testament people in this special tent, the people will need to be sensitive to their sin. They need to offer sacrifices for unintentional sins. They need to offer sacrifices for things they should have done but just forgot to. Now, friends, we live in a different time. We don't need to offer animal sacrifices anymore. But I think from all that we've seen so far, it should help us to see that sin is serious. Even what we might consider small sins, things he shouldn't even really worry about, it would seem from the passage so far that all sin, no matter how big or small we think it is, it's serious and it matters to God. What sins have you lost your sensitivity to? What sins do you just do now and you don't even give it a second thought at all? Friends, we are different to God's Old Testament people, but I still think it's fair to say that God wants his people to treat sin seriously, even the small stuff. How are you going with that? Now, in the world that we live in, which is so chaotic and crazy, it can seem hard to care. Why would you even care about the small stuff? But friends, God is holy. He is different. He cares about sin. God doesn't want his people to sin anymore. How she wants them to live his way. Now, in the Old Testament, it seems like there are four different categories of sin. You have unintentional sin. You have sins of omission, things you should do but you fail to do. You have intentional sins of a lesser nature. But you also have big intentional sins. And what we've seen so far, there doesn't seem to be an offering or a sacrifice for big intentional sin. Which brings us to our next point. Well, what about big intentional sin? Now, in order to consider this, we're going to briefly jump ahead in Leviticus. These are passages that the PM services will dig into more in the coming weeks. But in chapter 16, there's a thing called the Day of Atonement. It's the day in the year where the high priest offers sacrifices for himself and the people. It's meant to be the day of the year that covers over all sin. Sin that's been missed throughout the year is covered for. And it says this in Leviticus 16, verses 29 to 30. It says this. This is to be a lasting ordinance for you. On the 10th day of the 7th month, you must deny yourselves and not do any work, whether native born or a foreigner residing among you. Because on this day, atonement will be made for you to cleanse you. Then before the Lord, you'll be clean from all your sins. It does sound a lot like the atonement for sin is comprehensive here. It says you'll be clean from all of your sin. But is this just talking about unintentional sins and sins of commission or small intentional sins and not big intentional sins? Because in Leviticus 20, a few chapters after the Day of Atonement, it talks about the punishments for big intentional sins. And it doesn't say, go and make a sacrifice. It doesn't say, hey, the Day of Atonement's got this. It says the person who's committed a big intentional sin must be put to death. Have a look with me at Leviticus 20, verse 10. It says this. If a man commits adultery with another man's wife, with the wife of his neighbour, both the adulterer and the adulteress are to be put to death. Now, I should just say that this is one of a number of big intentional sins listed in Leviticus 20. But did you notice if you commit a sin like this, it doesn't say, go and offer this sacrifice. It doesn't say, the Day of Atonement's got you covered. No, it says, this person is to be put to death. And we just don't have enough info to know if this person is then permanently separated from God. It doesn't seem like the Old Testament sacrificial system can deal with big intentional sin. Consider King David for a moment. King David, he commits adultery with a lady called Bathsheba, and then he murders her husband, Uriah. Now, we've already seen that if you commit adultery, you are to be put to death. Exodus 21 says if you murder someone or kill someone on purpose, you are also to be put to death. King David should have been put to death twice. And so when he's made aware of his sin, He doesn't run and make a sacrifice. He just cries out to God. Have a listen to Psalm 51, verses 1 to 2. It says this. A psalm of David when the prophet Nathan came to him after David had committed adultery with Bathsheba. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. David knows that he doesn't have a leg to stand on. There's no sacrifice to offer. And so he just cries out to God. And God does hear David's cry, and God does have mercy on David. But it seems like not everyone will get to experience that mercy. Next week, in the afternoon services, we'll see two priests. Two priests offer unauthorized fire, and they are burnt up immediately. It seems like the Old Testament sacrificial system, it just can't handle big intentional sin. Now, recently we went on holidays, my family and I, and my oldest son and I, his name's Henry, we went mountain biking at Thredbo. There's chairlifts there and it was great. But it was really muddy and it was really cold. It felt like -5 at the top and there was snow on the ground. But as we were getting ready to go back at the place we were staying, we were going to catch a shuttle, Henry had shorts on. And he was already cold. He was already freezing. And I was like, mate, go and put some long pants on. We're about to climb 500 metres in elevation. You are about to freeze. But he was reluctant to wear his long pants because his mum didn't really want him wearing his long pants. Because he lives in towns, all right, with me. And so he doesn't really need long pants. And so he's got one good pair of long pants, one long pants to work at McDonald's that they gave him, and some track pants. And that's it. That's all he has. Because it's too hot to wear long pants most of the time, isn't it? I wouldn't wear long pants except for Sundays. I just wear shorts. But obviously that's not okay here. But here he is. Henry goes back, puts his pants on. But his mum, she was concerned that the stains, they just wouldn't come out. The washing liquid and the washing machine, it just wouldn't be strong enough to bring out all the stains. And a lot of mud did come out, but some stains remained. You can see the colour of his pants up there. It's that light brown, tan, some might say, or whatever it is. And that's his back tyre. You can see the mud on it. That mud and those pants, it just came together. And the stain couldn't be removed. We actually, when we got back from riding, we showered in our clothes just to wash some of the stuff out. But it didn't work. It couldn't remove the stain. Friends, it seems like the Old Testament sacrificial system cannot deal with big intentional sin. It can't wash you clean from them. But friends, we live at a different time. We live after the death of Jesus' death and resurrection. And Jesus' death and resurrection can wash you clean from any sin. No matter how big or small, unintentional or intentional, Jesus can wash you clean from it all. Have a look at one last passage with me. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 to 11. It says this. Or do you not know that wrongdoers will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who have sex with men, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And that is what some of you were. But you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. One of the things to notice in verses 9 and 10 is that some of the sins listed there were sins that back under the old system you were to be put to death for. And from verse 11, the Corinthians, from the start of verse 11, the Corinthians have committed some of these sins. But through Jesus, these people have been washed clean. Through Jesus, now God now sees these people as holy. They are justified before God, right with God. Friends, we live in a different time. We live after the death and resurrection of Jesus. We can be washed clean from all our sin, no matter how big, no matter how small. And in light of that, And in light of how seriously God treats sin, even the stuff that we think doesn't really matter, I think we should want to live lives that are pleasing to God. We should want to try and say no to sin with God's help. One of the things that I find really helpful, one of the things that helps me to fight sin in my life, is being accountable to someone. Being accountable to someone about my sin. In a safe place, this person can ask me whatever question they want to ask me about what I might be struggling with. And they remind me of God's grace, and they pray for me. And it really does help me to fight sin. I've still got a long way to go. I'm not perfect. But being honest and being reminded of grace, it really does help me to want to say no to sin. Well, friends, we've seen how serious sin is. We've seen that Jesus can wash us clean from all sin. But how seriously are you treating sin in your life? Are you running away from it? Are you fleeing it? Are you wrestling with it? Or have you just given up the fight? Have you just given in to it? Friends, I reckon it's fair enough to say that your Father in heaven wants you to treat sin seriously in your life. He wants you to keep fighting. He wants you to keep wrestling. And the great news is, he actually helps us to do that. Let's pray that he'd help us do that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Father, this is a tricky part of your word to get our heads around. It feels very foreign to us. But Father, thank you for the way it reminds us and shows us that sin is serious. Even stuff that we might think is small is serious. Father, thank you that we live in a different time. Thank you that Jesus' death and resurrection pays for all sin. No matter how big or small, intentional or unintentional, thank you that we can be washed clean. Father, we pray that you'd help us to live in light of that. Help us to treat sin seriously in our lives. Help us to flee it. Help us to run from it. Help us to wrestle with it. Help us not just to give up. And Father, help us to know that you'll be there helping us by your Spirit to live your way. And Father, please help us to help each other to live your way. Help us to have people in our lives where we can be in a safe place and share our struggles. Father, help us to remind each other of the wonderful news of Jesus. We pray all of these things in his name. Amen. Friends, we're going to respond to God's word by singing now. We're going to sing a song that reminds us that it was finished on the cross, that on the cross, Jesus paid for all sin. You just need to believe in Jesus. So please stand.